One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Columbus, Ohio, I'm headed your way Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th. Get your tickets today.
Toledo, Ohio, the Live and Alive tour is headed your way. I'll be there Friday, April 26th and Saturday, April 27th at the Funny Bone.
Los Angeles, Sunday, May 12th, I'll be at the Bourbon Room for my show during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. Let's sell this thing out.
Miami, Florida, I'm bringing the Live and Alive tour your way. I'll be at the Miami Improv Friday, June 7th. And Saturday, June 8th. Get your tickets now.
All tickets are available at RyanSickler.com.
Hey, baby, we're gonna be here all day. We're gonna be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
Welcome back to the Way Back. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Come see me on tour. Tickets are available on my website only. Just go there. Trust me, don't buy them anywhere else. RyanSickler.com/tour. Very excited to have my guest here with me today in the Way Back. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Fitzsimmons. Welcome to the Way Back.
Let me tell you something. I feel like I'm back in 1979. 77. We had this. We had the town squire. Was that the station wagon?
Here it is.
There it is. That was our car.
Dude, that was tits. Look how the headlights would just like, it would flip up like that.
It was like a Cadillac
grill. I swear, Greg, I know it's one of those things in life that once you start looking for them, you see them. I'm starting to see station wagons everywhere now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you dated that girl that had a Fiero GT. You hadn't seen Fiero GTs in forever. All
you know what I saw the other day? Remember the Volkswagen Thing?
I saw a Thing
the other day.
You could
take off the bumpers. Yep. You could turn into a dune buggy.
It was a Nazi car.
We'll have to bleep that
to get monetized. That's what it was.
Remember the Thing? It was like a Lego. You could
My buddy had that orange one right there in high school.
Really?
Yeah, he drove that thing around. You ain't getting away nowhere in that car.
So we had that car. And
wait, real quick. I want to do you a service. Promote your dates. Oh. Let's promote your dates
right
here.
Well, listen. I'm coming out to the studio in Misner Park in Boca Raton. Is it Raton or Raton, Florida?
I say Raton, but I'm not
sure.
Because
you're from Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly. I also say foyer, so I don't know.
Do you what do you call the thing you put your feet up on in front of a couch or a chair?
It's so funny. When I was a kid, I grew up, we learned it was a hassock.
That's what we used to say.
It wasn't until later until people were like, the hell's a hassock?
Yep.
It's an ottoman. And I changed it to ottoman because no one knew what a hassock was.
I used to say hassock. And then I'm going to be coming to Side Splitters on April 4th through the 6th. That's one of my top two clubs in the country.
It is absolutely a
great club.
One of my favorites.
And then the Emelin Theater in Mamaroneck, New York. I'm not doing a lot this spring because I got a little project going on. May 31st. Tickets at FitzDog.com. And the podcast is FitzDog Radio, which you've been on several times.
Show.
And Sunday Papers every Sunday with Mike Gibbons. And social media is, I forget. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Who cares?
That's so yesterday. Who cares about social media?
Tell me about the Country Squire.
So the Country Squire, my father bought it from his friend George Tompkins. So we got it used. And
why? Why is George getting rid of it? His kid's grown up and like your dad's like, I could use that thing.
Do you know why? 7 kids, George Tompkins.
Jesus Christ.
George, Ernie, Liz, Brian, Jen. I can't remember the other ones, but they had 7 kids. Oh, Timmy and Billy. And so I don't know why. They used to pile all the kids in there, and I think maybe they wore it out. But I just remember that the back seat, you know, the one that faced backwards, this thing used to fold forward,
right.
And it was steel.
Yep.
It wasn't carpet. It was 100%. Just brown steel.
Yep.
And I remember we used to like it down because we used to like to slide around on the turns.
put a blanket on it and slide across. Yeah. You didn't even care about hurting your
neck. We're breakdancing back there, making faces of people picking our noses.
I'm thinking about getting an old school station wagon. I really think I should do this show like comedians in cars getting coffee and just sit in the back when somebody drives us around doing this right now.
Yeah, that's good.
It'd be so much fun.
And then the car, my father was an alcoholic, and he was driving home at 3 in the morning and fell asleep at the wheel.
No.
And hit the Squire head into a tree going about 40 miles an hour, was pronounced dead.
Your dad was pronounced
dead, and they brought him back. What? He cut his jugular vein.
No way.
He lost his heartbeat. And the
Have you
paramedics,
ever told this on the Honeydew?
No.
I was going to say, I don't remember this story.
I don't think so.
And he went head on into a tree at 40 miles an hour and cut his, what cut his jugular?
The windshield, I think.
God.
You know, they didn't wear seatbelts back then.
Oh, no, I was
going to
ask, was he? No. And even if it was just a lap belt. You're still going, it's just holding you in place while you fold in half.
Yeah. And so my mom was driving behind him. I don't know if they were both driving. They had two cars for some reason. So this is before cell phones, and this was kind of a deserted stretch of the road. So I think she drove into town, got an ambulance to come out. By the time they came back, he was flatlined. He was in the hospital for weeks. I remember I was a little kid. And I guess when I was riding, it must have been like 74 when we were 75 when we were in the back of that car.
Was that the end of the Squire?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, although, like, Jay Leno used to have a joke about cars like that. You have a head-on collision, you just hose it down, put it back in the road.
I was going to say it was the end of the tree. Yeah. The Squire's fine.
No, but we used to drive past that tree for years, and it was like, it had, like, a hole in it.
You never got a chance to drive that wagon, then. That wasn't your car? Like, you never...
No, as a matter of fact, then my father got a Corvette after that, and that was later. That was in 19...
He drinks and drives and hits a tree and dies, and then he gets a Corvette.
Yep. That's how it was back then, you know?
Did he have a nice Stingray? What did he get there?
No, it was an L80, which
was... That classic 80 one you would see everywhere?
Like, it was a 1980. It had the biggest production. It was the L82. It was made in 1980, but it was called the L82.
Look at that.
Isn't that pretty? I like the bubble window in the back, not the concave one.
It's funny because it reminds me of hearing when it was, I think it was Louis Seinfeld... Can't remember who the other two were on the panel, but talking about cars.
Yeah.
And Louie or anybody thinking this is a nice car. And Seinfeld's whole point, he's a Porsche guy. His whole point is it's because where you grew up. We think that's nice.
Right,
he's like, that's not nice.
No, we think that.
That's bad. Did he have the T-tops though?
T-top, yep. And it was a manual transmission. And so he never let it. So when I was in high school, this would have been like 1980. I was 16 years old, and I wanted to drive it. It was a leased car. He wouldn't let me drive it. And then finally, he was turning in the lease the next week, and he goes, you can drive it to school. And I'm just picturing me pulling up, Jill Garfunkel standing there, Kathy Misner, and me pulling up in the L82, revving it a little bit, leaving some rubber. So 2 days before...
You're a senior pulling in, or what? How old are you?
I'm a junior.
Oh, man. And you're flexing, bro.
So I'm flexing. I got acne. I'm skinny. I got red hair.
What color is the Corvette?
It looked black, but it was actually a very dark green.
Okay.
And so 3 days before he was going to let me take it, the engine block was leaking, and the engine seized.
It just seized up?
Yeah, the oil leaked out, and it just seized three days before. And he was going to turn it in a couple days after that.
So what happened? He get stuck with it, or what happened?
Nah, he got screwed. he got screwed on that one. My dad made a lot of bad investments in his day. But anyway, let's talk about the prom. My prom was, I guess it would have been 1984.
Is it senior prom?
Senior prom. I didn't do a junior prom.
Okay.
Senior prom, and I ask out the girl who was voted best looking. But I didn't go to that. That was in the town high school. I went to a private school nearby. So I got the prettiest girl at a town high school to come with me to my private school just to blow everybody's mind. She was just coming as a friend.
That's a flex to bring a girl from another school to your school is a flex.
Yeah, bringing in a ringer.
I don't think the girls in my school, I go out of the district. Yeah. Like, bro.
So she comes in and she said she'd come if I got an eight ball. So I get it, right? So I get an eight ball and we go to the prom, and she was poor. She grew up in the projects. So she made her own dress. I remember she said, I got hot fuchsia material.
Oh,
me and my mom
God.
Are going to sell it. So she shows up, and it looked like, do you remember in our gang when they made their mom a dress and then she walks to church in it on Mother's Day? That's what she looked like.
I can only imagine it looked like if I would have made the dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you would have made the dress, right now, the neckline would have come down to here. Right. So she had big, big boobs, and she had cleavage, and she showed up, and she did. She looked smoking hot, but she looked poor.
All right. So wait, are her parents coming with her to your home to do pictures and all that?
She doesn't have parents.
I guess not. Okay.
She had no dad.
Her mom's not there either.
Her mom was a drunk, and her dad was gone.
So does she come to your home?
There's
you
a reason why
up?
She's agreeing to go to my prom.
I got you.
Life
the
wasn't
eight ball
good.
Was already yeah, in the, yeah, yeah. At
yeah.
that yard.
Yeah.
But also, you knew where to get one. I don't know if I could have got an eight ball in high school.
Yeah.
I don't think
we
so.
We did a lot
weed,
of drugs
no problem.
In high school.
I don't know about an eight ball.
So, look, it was
rich kids had the eight balls. That was what I learned. Rich kids had better drugs.
No, we had two friends of mine dropped out of high school, and they got their own apartment, which was the coolest thing in the world, because they're like 17 years old, and they got their own apartment, and they called it the R&R Lounge, and they made business cards, and they sold drugs out of the apartment. And so they used to get Coke. So you'd buy the Coke, but then they'd chop it up on their table, and you'd end up doing half of it with them.
Yeah.
So they were strung out. But we could get Coke, so we go to the prom, and we're supposed to have a limo picking us up, and the limo is just a no show. It's our prom night, and
the limo
is her
dad if it was a person.
We got a deadbeat limo, and so
her dad said, "I'll get that for you guys."
So my buddy Frank.
Wait, I have a million questions. It's prom.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a corsage for her?
I got her a corsage.
Okay. Does she have a boutonniere for you? I'm guessing no.
No, there was no boutonniere
all right,
for
that's
me.
Fine.
No.
But you got a wrist corsage?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember all this because that's when I learned I had no idea. I'm trash, bro. I didn't know what a cummerbund was.
Right.
I was like, and you're supposed to wear it this way to catch the crumbs. I didn't know any of this shit.
Oh,
you know?
Thought it was like a way tighten up your waist. I guess it was also to hide
crumb
your
crumb catcher too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we did the limo thing too.
Yeah.
But we had to go to, now again, I didn't have parents either. So I was going to your house for the pictures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And nobody was coming. I was just driving myself over. Okay. So when the limo doesn't show, what do you do? Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up so you can get right to eating with no fuss, no mess. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can even pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm using Factor. I've got 16 meals left in the fridge. I did the 18-meal plan. I ate two of them already. I did the bolognese. I did the chicken fettuccine alfredo with the garlic broccoli. Garlicky broccoli. And it's fantastic. All right? So head to factormeals.com/sickler50 and use code sickler50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code SICKLER50 at factormeals.com/SICKLER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
So my friend Frank, he actually had a Mustang. And so
there it is again, bro.
Yeah,
Come on, dude.
It was that shitty year Mustang, though. You know those late 70s
the Mustangs?
Mustang 2. They sucked. And there it is. Yeah,
that
it looked like a
trash.
Pinto. It looked like a Ford Pinto.
It pretty much is.
And so, we just take that down. And I grew up like 20 minutes from Manhattan, so we drive into the city and we go to Danceteria. It was a 3-story disco in Manhattan, and it was
you're
like,
going to a 3-story disco.
Yeah,
holy shit!
And
in the 80s,
in the 80s,
the heyday
of
this.
Yeah. you know, Madonna. It was all the big stars were there, and we do about a gram
this
before we get
prom.
There.
This is pre-prom?
No, we left the prom early. Okay. We went to the prom for like an hour, and
got
then we
it. Checked in, and
then
and
we bounced, we chopped some lines, we did about a gram. You know, an 8-ball is 3.5 grams, so we do a gram before the danceteria, and then we're in a back room, and then there's a bar in the back room, and we chop up some more there, and then we get in the car to drive back home, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and we realize like we've lost the Coke. And so we're like, what the fuck? And so we're looking all over the car, and we go back to the bar. And this is how the 80s were. I walked up to the bartender, and I go, hey, we left a packet of Coke. He's like, yeah, here it is. You left
no.
it on the bar.
Yeah.
So we share it with him. We finish it up with him at the bar.
Give him a little nod, yeah.
And then we get in the car and we're driving back. And now it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and we're driving back. And then all of a sudden, I go under the accelerator. And Frank's like, "What?" I go under the accelerator. We'd left a half a gram under the accelerator
on purpose.
Yes, on purpose. So we pick up a few six packs of beer, and we go to Rockefeller State Park. Rockefeller owned a big park in our town on the Hudson River, and we sat there and drank beer. Sun came up. I remember I got home at like 11 in the morning, and I slept all day, and then I came down, and my mom said, "Have fun last night." I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Yeah, I tried to ask you last night, but you walked in. I asked you 3 questions and you just stared at me and then you went to bed."
You don't remember
no,
that at all.
No. I didn't even get a hand job either. This was just like, you give me the Coke and I'll show my face.
Yeah.
It was like
yeah.
an appearance. It was like a Kardashian coming to your nightclub.
And you got the vet. You got it all going that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me, you mentioned losing virginity. I don't think we've had a guy share their losing.
Really?
I don't think we have.
Okay.
Well, how old are you?
How old was I?
Yeah.
16.
Okay.
So me and my buddy Sneaky Pete, we were like best friends, and we hitchhiked all over. We used to hitchhike down to the city, and we would just—
From where?
From Tarrytown.
How far is that?
It's like 20 minutes north of the city,
but
on the Hudson River.
It's Jersey, technically?
No, no, no.
New
it
York.
Goes Manhattan, the Bronx, and then Westchester County, which is where
That's
I live.
That's where you are, okay.
And so we had a bet. At a certain point, we had a bet. Whoever loses their virginity first gets $20 from the other guy. And so it got to the point where we could have each gotten laid, but we didn't because the girls weren't that hot. And then we go, well, it's got to mean something. You can't just sleep with someone to get the $20. And so we made a bet. All right, if somebody does that, the other guy has a week to get laid, and it negates the $20 bet.
Okay.
So then he tells me that he had sex with, I'm not going to say the girl's name.
Don't.
So he has sex with her, and I'm like, oh, come on, man. Anybody can have sex.
Okay.
So he goes, well, that's $20. I go, I got a week.
What proof does he have to give? You're
no,
just
I believe. No, okay. we were best friends. So I'm sitting at the benches. We used to hang out at the benches, which is in front of Gristiti's. It was a New York grocery store. And you hope one of your friends shows up with a car to take you out. And so all of a sudden, these two girls—
Oh, you just hang and wait for someone who's got a license to scoop you?
Right.
Okay, all right.
So all of a sudden, this car pulls up, and it's a Camaro.
I love all these references,
like,
bro. I know
it's
exactly.
It's like a 71 Camaro. I think it's a Z28.
Oh,
is that what they called it?
Oh, yeah, bro. Z28. Yes,
so,
it is.
And the girl, I wish I could tell you her name because it's so fucking funny, but the two of them pick us up, and one of them is the girl that Sneaky Pete lost his virginity to.
Nuh-uh.
So we went out, we bought some Boone's Farm strawberry wine. We drove underneath the power lines. Like, the power lines always had a path, because they had to service them so you could always drive down the power lines, find a deserted spot. So we go down the power lines. We're listening to WPLJ. You know, it's got like Led Zeppelin and The Who and Hendrix, classic rock. And it's raining, just slight rain. And my buddy Johnny Trouble, we call him Johnny Trouble, he was with the one girl. And then I'm with the girl that Sneaky Pete had sex with. And we're on the hood.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And I take her pants off.
You're on the hood of a Z-28.
Yeah. And then I pull down my pants to my ankles. I don't even take them off. I remember that. And I remember my feet, we were at a slight incline, and my feet were slipping in the mud. And I'm drunk on Boone's Farm. And I did it. And I was like, that's it. And I told Sneaky Pete, I was like, told him the next day, I go, hey, I lost my virginity last night. He's like, no way, with who? And I go, just some girl from the next town.
You didn't tell
him? I didn't have the heart to tell him.
To this day, you haven't?
I told him a year ago.
A year ago? What did he say?
He's like, I kind of had a feeling it was her.
But she knew you guys were buds. I know it wasn't her virginity.
No, it was not.
It definitely wasn't if your buddy was there a week ago.
And then I remember once she gave me a blowjob. Yeah, there it is. And she told me.
Which one, the blue one?
It was blue. It had a scoop. I remember because her head was leaning against the scoop.
Yeah, go back down. Yeah, that one right there.
Yeah, right. There it is.
Propped her head up on the scoop. Oh, you're a romantic, Greg. I can see you slide down in the mud. Yeah. Up. Oh, it's too much.
Yeah. But in our town, it was like. People were friendly, like girls and guys. We'd hang out, we'd drink, we'd go to, there was this bar called Cha Cha's where from the age of 16, you could get in and they had a pool table and a jukebox, you know, standard bar. But we would all hook up, like you'd hook up with her and then she'd hook up, you know, nobody was boyfriend, girlfriend in Tarrytown. People just kind of, you know, had fun.
So tell me about, was it your 16th birthday?
Oh, yeah. So we did a lot of drugs. So no, it was my 15th birthday, and all my friends had started doing cocaine and mescaline and mushrooms.
What exactly is mescaline?
Mescaline is a type of an acid.
Okay.
And it makes.
And is it liquid? Or are you doing dabs?
No, it's like a very small pill. Paper? Oh, it's like pill. A little tiny pill, a little tab. And I used to sell it for a while, but when I was 14, all my friends were already doing it. I was like, nah, we're too young. 14. We're too young. So I waited for my 15th birthday. Mm-hmm. And then we went to this guy's house. Can I say his name?
Yeah.
His name was Locke. I have to say his name for the story. His name was Lachlan, and we called him Locke. And his sister's name was Lala, and his brother's name was Hamish. Right? Okay. So he's great. And they lived in this house. Tiny Tim. You know Tiny Tim? Mm-hmm. So Tiny Tim, one of the crazy freaks of the 70s, had built a castle in our town. It was a crazy house. And so we always wanted to go in it, but we were never allowed in. His parents were really uptight. And so one day he goes, my parents are going out of town. If you guys want to come over on Saturday night.
Is that his dad?
It was his dad's house.
Tiny Tim is your friend?
No. Okay, Tiny Tim sold the house to his family.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, no, right. Tiny Tim was
I was like, what? This is Tiny Tim's son. This is Tinier Tim?
Tinier Tim,
bro.
So we go.
So you're going into this.
So I go in there and I take some mescaline. About four of us took mescaline, and it's a laughing drug. You just giggle. Oh. So we walk into the house. We're like, we're gonna run around, and he takes us down to the basement, down a hallway, into a room that's like the size of this room with an old tube TV, and we sit there watching MTV. And now the mescaline kicks in, and we're already starting to get a little giggly because it's just so fucking weird that we got so much space, and he won't let us go anywhere except for this little room. And so we're sitting
there. He's not giving you a tour. He won't let you do
anything. No tour, nothing. And then all of a sudden the dog comes in. It's this little fluffy dog. And I go, what's the dog's name? And he goes, Fred. Lachlan Hamish and Lala's dog is named Fred. And that, for some reason, was the funniest piece of information yeah. I'd ever heard in my life. I'm cramping. We cramped it 15 minutes. We're doubled over. And Locke got so pissed off, he threw everybody out of the house.
He just kicked you all out.
Yeah.
Great.
And then I, then I started selling the mescaline. There was a guy named Andre who was this black guy in town. My town was like, had projects, and there was a lot of black kids. And he was like the toughest kid in the projects. And he was selling mescaline. And he goes, hey, do you want to be my guy, you know, with the well-off kids? And I was like, yeah, I'll be that guy.
You want to be my white connection?
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. My suburb dude.
Yeah. So
how old are you, 14?
I'm 15? Like 15 at this point.
Jesus Christ.
And so I'm selling. I just remember.
What kind of weight are you getting? Like, is he giving you 100 pills at a time?
At 50? The most. Yeah, maybe 50.
Okay. And where do you hide them?
I had a Ziploc bag, and I used to keep it, I don't know, in my sock probably, but he comes up one time and I owed him money, but it wasn't like outstanding. It was like, you know, he gave me the pill. I gave him the money, but he was getting antsy. So I come home one day. It's like 3 p.m. I walk into my living room. We got a nice house. We're up on the hill. And I walk in and there's Andre sitting with my mother having tea.
In your house? Yeah, your mom made him tea? Dude, this is terrifying. Yep.
And so I just look at him like this and he looks at me and then
how
like,
old's Andre?
It's 27.
I mean, that's a move right there.
Yeah. So we walk outside and I give him the money. I go, dude, I go, we're done. We're done. I go, this is never happening again. And then my mom for years would be like, how's Andre?
Nuh-uh.
And I'd be like,
what did he tell
Andre's
her he was there
jail.
For?
Andre's in jail, Ma.
What was his pitch to get in there and get the
just
tea?
Just your friends, you know, just that's my 27-year-old black friend.
And I'm 15 and my mom doesn't think that's odd at all. How's Andre? That's crazy,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, he had a younger brother. No, maybe he was 27. Maybe he was more like 24.
Still.
Because he had a younger brother.
The younger, the scarier, that move, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He had a younger brother that made Andre seem like a pussy. This kid was crazy. I remember he went into one of those juvie halls when we were kids, and I was friends with him, and I remember visiting him there, and it was like the scariest experience of my life. I was like,
oh, that was like you're scared straight.
Yeah.
You would go see him in there?
Yeah, I went and visited him there one time.
Fuck that. Yeah. I never wanted to be in those schools with those kids.
Three strikes, man. That was the thing. You get, they called them JD cards where I grew up. And if you got arrested, you got a card. And if you got three cards, you went to the juvie home.
Until what? 18 and then?
I think so. Yeah.
Damn.
I got one.
You did?
I got one.
For what?
I had a slingshot, and me and Sneaky Pete and this kid, Steve, who had asthma. And so this car is driving by, and we're sitting in the woods, and we're just hitting cars. We're trying to hit the hubcaps, and I shoot it wrong. You know those wrist rods? They go up your wrist?
Yep.
And they shoot pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So I blast the side window out of a car.
Damn.
Just smashes it. Car pulls over. And these four Puerto Rican guys get out.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Dude.
And they chase us through the woods. And Sneaky Pete's like a rabbit. He's ding, ding, ding. He's gone.
Yeah, you got to make cuts. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm running with the kid with the asthma. And all of a sudden, he's so scared. He has an asthma attack. So we just sit in there. And I stay with him. And the Puerto Rican guys come up. And I'm like, all right, we're dead. And they're like, we're taking you to the police. And I was like, thank you so much. So we went to the police, and the police knew that there was a third guy because the Puerto Rican guys had seen that there was a third guy, and the police squeezed me. I said, I don't know. I said, we just met him that day. I go, I don't even know his name. He had the slingshot. And so they made me go through yearbooks. Like, they made me go through like every town in our neighboring area. They made me go through the yearbooks trying to find the guy. I said he was from another town. So Sneaky Pete dodged a bullet on that one, and I got a JD card.
And you didn't rat?
No, and I had to pay for the window.
Good man.
Yeah.
Sneaky Pete should have covered the fucking window.
Yeah, right?
For real. That's, come on.
I should have hooked him up with Andre, make some money, pay me back.
Dude, you're taking me back. God, is it Marksman Slingshot? I think they were. They were like these black. That's the one right here. That guy.
Yep.
And you had a forearm brace.
Yep.
So we had that thing, and we would shoot everything. And one night, we're sitting at this place. It was called American Pizza, and we're directly across from the 7-Eleven. And we decide this isn't enough, and we get one of those three-person ones where you hold one end, I hold the other, and somebody pulls back in the middle. And we're launching water balloons. We're launching water balloons in the summer.
Yeah.
And we're just firing them at anyone that's coming in and out of 7-Eleven. We're so far across the street that even if they get pissed, we're getting in the car and getting the fuck out of there. And we're just bombing people. And they're just getting it. Oh, they're like, you motherfuckers. They don't know where it's coming from. We're dying. And one of my buddies lets this one go. And I mean, it's a missile from hell.
Yeah.
And it's an old lady. And she's pulling the door. And I'm like, oh, God. It's going to fuck her up.
Yeah.
It's going to fuck her up, right? And at the last second, this is why I love the 80s. There's an old school antenna on a car.
Yeah.
And it went right on that antenna. And it split and just gave her a nice little shower. I was like, thank God. They don't have those antennas anymore today. That lady's fucking dead. It was headed straight for her temple. And we were all slow-mo like, oh God, man. Because we had been seeing people take them.
Yeah.
And then the other time we took that one and my mom... I stopped laughing because she's watching these things. My mom is cheating on my dad with this old dude, right?
Really?
And we find out where he lives.
Oh, you knew about it?
She used to take us to his house to go swimming and stuff. It was messed up. So we got that slingshot, and we sit up because he lived on like a – the road would go up a hill like this, and he lived on this little ridge, and his house was down here.
Yeah.
And we sat there, and we fucking – just into the black. We just – and you just hear – lights are coming over.
Oh my God.
And we haul ass out of there.
No
we fucked that dude's house up. Princess.
Really?
She didn't like him either.
Took out the windows.
Took out. We just fired into the blackness at the house. And we were definitely hitting windows. Oh, yeah.
That felt good.
We heard about it. It felt really good.
Yeah.
It felt good, bro.
Did it get back to your mom? Did she ever accuse you of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She accused us of a lot of stuff. Some stuff we definitely did. Most of it we didn't, though.
You used to take money from your mom's purse?
No.
I
just talked about this, dude. I was not a snooper.
Yeah.
I never went through my parents' stuff. It was never even a thing. Like, I didn't give a fuck about your shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm just here.
Yeah.
Minding my biz, just trying to get through my days. But then when people die and you start cleaning things out, I'm like, oh, my dad had a porn in here, you know, shit like that.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's when I found out my dad had like a couple VHS
porns. What was
porns.
His kink?
I don't really remember because I was crying porn.
Right.
I think that's mine now. I need to cry to finish now. I think that's where that comes from.
You're wiping Kleenex on your face and your belly.
Like, why are you crying? I'm like, it's fine. This is what I do. Oh, wait. Do you want to tell Selling Gingerbread House's story?
Oh, yeah.
Tell that.
So my buddy Brian, who I just hung out with in Portland this weekend, he was one of my best friends growing up, Sneaky Pete and Brian. And so he lived in this shitty apartment. He had a single mom, and he had no money. But he was more into drugs than I was, and so he was fucking up in high school. So they had a thing called BOCES in New York, where they put you into vocational school by like junior year because you're not going to college. So he goes into culinary, and so at the class he makes a gingerbread house, and he brings it home. And we're all baked, and we're like, oh, let's eat the fucking gingerbread. He's like, no, man, we sell it. We're going to sell the gingerbread house. So
how big is this thing?
It's a good-sized gingerbread house. And so we walk down the street. We knock on a door, and somebody answers, and we go, do you want to support you want to support the children's hospital?
Nah.
Yeah, and they go, yeah. I go, well, the gingerbread house is $20. So they give us $20, and we go buy some weed, and... And then we're like, you know, this is a fucking racket.
Yeah,
so we went and we bought a bunch of flour and we made like five or six gingerbread houses. And we were going door to door. Yeah.
Were they good ones?
Yeah, they were good. Yeah. I mean, he was in culinary school. He knew what he was doing. And so we went door to door and we get to, and some people are going, they're calling bullshit. They're like, what children's hospital? We're like, The children's hospital with the kids in it.
You got a gingerbread? Is it wrapped or is it just open?
Just open. And so by the time we do this for an hour, a fucking cop pulls up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a cop pulls up and he goes, you guys have any credentials or do you have any, you know, permission slip to sell the? And we're like, no. And we're like, it's for the children's hospital. He's like, there's no children's hospital. And so he let us go. But, you know, that was the end of that venture.
Dude, I've told this before. I'm going to tell you to make you feel better if you feel bad about that. We had this kid in our neighborhood and we moved to a new neighborhood and he had come around a couple times. This kid always had money. He's buying baseball cards and gum. Like, your parents getting it? He's like, nah, I'm working. I'm doing my own little thing. We're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just going door to door and telling them I work for Jerry's Kids and I'm collecting change. I'm like, what? So I don't even know. This is, you know what I mean? So my brother and I join him. And we just start going door to door. And we're collecting coffee cans, loose change, you know, yeah. Coming home. And my dad comes over. And this is right when he and my mom split. And this weekend we're with my mom in this new neighborhood. And my dad comes over. He's like, where the hell did you get all that money? And we're like, oh, we've been going door to door. And people just been giving it to us. He's like, why? I was like, we just say we're collecting for Jerry's Kids. And he's like, there, somebody did this when I told this story. And they fucking, no, this is a different story. This is when they told, this is my karma, where I have a disease where one more layer of muscle, I'm a Jerry's Kid. No. That's what the doctor said. That's my karma.
You're almost dystrophied.
This fucking, almost, bro. I'm dystrophy adjacent. So we're collecting this money, and my dad's like, that's illegal. What do you mean? You're stealing from people. He's like, are you giving that money to muscular dystrophy? We're like, yeah. No, we're using it to buy a car. He's like, you're going to get arrested for that. So then my dad fucking, now, I told you, I didn't want to go. Like, our family was splitting up and shit was getting wild, and I didn't want to go to any kind of juvenile school, none of that shit.
Yeah.
So my dad tells us we're going to go to prison. Dude, we're like, what do we do? And he's like, they're going to fingerprint that money. And we're like, what? My dad. I wish I could do this like it. We're like, what? He's like, your fingerprints are all over it. They're going to fingerprint that money. They're going to know it's you. We're like, what do we do? He's like, if I was you guys, I'd put it in the bathtub. I'd wash all of it. And then I would take it to McDonald's when we go and donate it to Ronald McDonald House. Dude, my brother and I put, Craig, so much loose change in the tub and we're scrubbing it like jackasses. Believed everything he fucking said. And my dad is not. I'll bet you that's the best 2 hours of peace that motherfucker I ever had in his life now that I think about it. We're
just
in there
the
panicking.
Sound,
we're scrubbing.
The change, you know? Clink, clink.
Yeah.
Splash.
He's out there having a beer like he's fucking idiot. We took it to McDonald's and we're just dumping it in the Ronald McDonald House. And these people are like, they're telling my dad, you have great kids. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you think so? dude, all the change is shiny. And man, we believe the
dude,
shit
you, you
out
know
of
what
that.
A scam that is? Ronald McDonald House, you know what they do? They take
I'm saying
all
we're
the
probably
money.
Giving a scam to a scam,
well, because right? You give the money to a corporation, and then they donate it to charity. They take a write-off, but it's not their money they're writing off. It's your money they're writing off.
That's right.
But Jerry Lewis, my father was a big radio guy in New York, and he hosted the Jerry Lewis telethon
did
every
he?
Year. Because, you know, each city gets like 15 minutes or 20 minutes of each hour is local. Mm-hmm. Like LA's got its own host, New York, Chicago. So my dad was the New York host. So 1 year, and this would have been about 1978, I think I was 12 years old. And we go down, we used to always go down, we'd hang out backstage, we'd help out. So Brooke Shields comes in. And she's at the height. She couldn't be bigger right now. She's probably a year or two older than me. She's like 14. She's done Pretty Baby. She's done Blue Lagoon. And so I meet her, and they take a photo. And it was me and my friend Josh and my brother and Brooke. And I was mad at my brother, so I cut him out of the picture. So you see Brooke standing next to Josh, but really she was standing next to my brother. And then she signed an autograph, and I just remember staring at her like, she was like a good head and a half taller than me. And I'm just fucking, I look like I'm 9, and she looks like she's like 19, and we're like the same age.
Dude, Brooke Shields, when you're that age,
yeah,
that's legendary.
Yeah.
You got some great stories, Greg.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Thank you for doing this. Plug again, please, whatever you'd like.
Just, you know, follow me at Greg Fitzshow on Twitter, Greg Fitzsimmons on Instagram. I just hit 100,000 followers on Instagram. So looking to build on that. But thank you so much. This is a great idea for a show. So much fun.
Thank you, man. Thanks for doing it. Please come back. I know we got plenty to talk
about. Okay, great.
As always, Ryan Sickler and all your social media. Come see me on tour. Tickets are available at ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.